You are listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Is SEC bias real? 713-780-3776. Where are you at on this before I present a case?
Yeah, SEC bias is absolutely a thing.
Okay.
They're on television the most.
They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
So I think that the average viewer, even like the voters in the AP poll and ball knowers that are not really ball knowers, watch more SEC football than they watch of other sports, okay, of the other conferences. So I think there is absolutely a bias to the SEC.
Okay. Throw some evidence at you. Did you know that 27% of the 66 AP poll voters have an SEC affiliation?
I did not know that.
Okay. There's one piece of evidence. This guy who's pretty vocal on Twitter, how ironic is it that Greg Sankey threw a tantrum, Sankey the SEC commissioner, about Indiana getting into the playoffs over a three-loss SEC team last year, strong-armed the committee into adopting the strength of record metric to benefit the SEC, and now the Hoosiers are the number one team in the nation in strength of record. That is very ironic. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much that has to do with the bias, but it's ironic. Will Compton, who you know from Bussin' with the Boys. Where did he go to college?
Nebraska.
Okay. That makes sense then. He pointed out that the highest-ranked one-loss teams are number 6 Alabama and number 8 Oregon. Alabama's loss was to 3-3 Florida State, who's unranked. And Oregon's loss was to 6-0 Indiana, who, of course, is the number 3 team in the AP. I think it's a compelling point.
Yes, but Alabama has good wins.
They do. They do have good victories.
Like they beat, you know, Georgia, Vandy, Missouri, 3 straight games.
It's a good counterpoint to Will Compton.
Yeah.
Bussing with the boys. I think he's a Utah fan. Utah 5-1 murders the number 21 team, only losses to number 7 Texas Tech, who's 6-0, and yet a 4-2 Texas team is ahead of them in the poll, who lost to a 2-4 team. SEC bias never fails.
Agreed.
Okay, so you're good with the UT-Texas thing?
Yeah, I'm good with that one.
Another one, AP poll is a joke. Texas Tech is undefeated, hasn't been close, and they're behind a one-loss Alabama. Ole Miss beat a bad team by 3 points. Utes lose to an undefeated top 10 team, and they are below Texas. Notre Dame has 2 losses, and they're above 6-0 BYU.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're on board there, even the Notre Dame thing?
I mean,
the SEC.
Notre Dame. They lost by a combined 4 points to the number 1 and 4 team in the country. So I think their ranking's fine. Okay. I'm not going to argue the Notre Dame one. You can argue it for me if you want.
But. So there are 10 SEC teams in the top 25, uh-huh, the AP. There are only 9 in Sankey's SOR, strength of record. A&M, who's the number 4 team in the AP, is number 2 in SOR. They are the only team in the SEC besides... Well, I guess there's a couple more. Alabama's 6 in the AP. They're 5 in SOR. Vanderbilt 17 in the AP, 16 in SOR. Everybody else is the opposite. They're higher in the AP than they are the strength of record, which, you know, human bias versus computer bias. Mm-hmm. So all that information, you think the SEC bias is real?
I do, but I also think there's just bias in general with this, and that's why it's such a flawed system. Can someone explain to me USC? USC is ranked 20th in the country. They're 5-1. They just beat Michigan, who was ranked 15th. But Illinois, who's also with only one loss on the season, right? No, so they have 2 losses on the season. But they beat USC. So shouldn't they be in front of them still?
Yeah, they're the 26th team in the country.
Like head-to-head should matter to me. Like I that's where I don't like I don't like the bias there. Because I think it's more... There's an SEC Big Ten Notre Dame bias. I'm not going to ignore the Notre Dame bias. I don't think it's just an SEC bias anymore. I think it's those two conferences, and then Notre Dame does deserve to get lumped in there as well. Because, like, why is Texas – I mean, I know their losses aren't as good on paper, but why are they so far behind Notre Dame? Why did they fall out of the top 25 in the AP poll when Notre Dame didn't? I know it was the first 2 games of the season, but Notre Dame only dropped to, I think, 22. And Texas fell out completely. Like, that doesn't really make sense to me.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't really understand. And, like, and then that's not SEC bias. That's crushing Texas for their losses. So, like, to me, like, this season, it feels like this season more than most, the AP poll is, like, kind of showing their ass a little bit here.
Yeah.
And embarrassing themselves. It doesn't help that you had that one girl go out publicly and say she doesn't care. But the SEC bias, I think it ultimately comes down to the fact that these beat reporters who are covering other teams, when their game's not on, the main game on ESPN is SEC now.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's what they're watching. They're watching SEC football more, or Big Ten football on Fox more than they're watching anything else. So I think that, to me, is where the bias is like really coming into play.
I'm going to surprise people here, I think, because I've always been a champion for like the anti-SEC. I actually don't think there's an SEC bias. I think there is a marquee name bias.
That's fair.
I think there is a big marquee name. We're going to give you the benefit of the doubt because you have that big marquee name. Because, like, I mean, A&M is the number four team in the AP. They're second in strength of record. Mm-hmm. Like, they deserve to be up there. But why aren't they? Well, when you think SEC, they're not really one of the blue bloods of the SEC. You think Alabama, you think Georgia, you think Texas. Even Oklahoma has more cachet. Even LSU has more cachet. So, like, A&M isn't the, you know, the front runner in the SEC when it comes to popularity nationwide. Mm-hmm. But they're getting dinged a little bit because they don't have that name brand, you know, whatever you want to call it. Tennessee's 11 in the AP, 19 in SOR. Like, that's a little bit of a name brand thing there. Texas, 21 in the AP, 30 in SOR, the computer metric that Sankey really wanted. Notre Dame gets a little bit of a boost here. You look at some of the Big Ten teams that get boosted at times. Ohio State's certainly going to be there, which that's fine. Like, they've been really good. Michigan's always going to get that boost. You mentioned Notre Dame. Notre Dame's going to get that boost. Florida State's probably going to get that boost. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that the AP poll has an SEC bias per se. I think that they have a cachet, clout, big name brand bias.
Yeah, because I don't think Ohio State should be the number one team in the country right now. I definitely don't think that when you look at the number one votes, they should have 50 versus Miami's 13.
Or Indiana's 3.
Yeah. Ohio State beat Texas in week one, who, yes, was number, what, 2 or 1 in the country, whatever it was.
Does that matter, though?
No, it shouldn't, because it's the preseason AP poll.
Doesn't to me.
And all Ohio State has since is a win against Illinois, who's currently not ranked, whereas Miami has current top 25 wins over South Florida and Notre Dame, and they beat Florida State, who's not ranked right now, just like Illinois is not ranked right now. Miami should be the number one team in the country. So even with Ohio State at number one versus Miami at number two, that's a recency, big-name brand biased.
Yeah.
That's why the AP poll... I think we might be headed towards, like, it could be changed.
See, that's kind of where I'm at. My problem isn't necessarily, you know, the biases towards conferences. I can even understand a big name bias whenever you're asking, like, people to vote on it. I'm a fan of creating a system that eliminates human bias. Like, because a lot of people also like to do, well, if these two teams played in a game on a neutral field, who would be favored? I don't understand why that matters in terms of qualifying for a playoff. Mm-hmm. Like, qualifying for a playoff depends on your resume, not who would be favored if you go and play a football game tomorrow on a neutral field. Like, who do you think has the most talent of any team in the country?
I think it might be Miami.
Okay. Let's say that Miami, and this is just a hypothetical, Miami had every single one of their starters ruled ineligible for the entire year, and they go 8-4, but then they're eligible for the postseason because they're the most talented team in the country. They would be favored over every single team that they played on a neutral field. They lost 4 games. Should you reward them for that?
No.
I hate the whole, well, they'd be favored in Vegas. No, it's not about who would be favored in Vegas. It's about who had the best body of work for the 12, maybe 13 games heading into the postseason. I think that they should all sit in a room, come together with a computer model, and eliminate human voting altogether.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard some bad suggestions. So maybe the worst suggestion I've ever heard for arguments of why certain SEC teams should be in the playoff last year over lower-level teams like Indiana, Todd McShay tried to make the argument that there was more NFL players on those SEC rosters than there was on Indiana's roster, and that's why they should get in. What does that have to do with anything?
It shouldn't matter.
But you know what? But the problem with it is some AP voter is hearing that and going, oh, that makes sense. Like, that's why UNLV, who's undefeated, is not ranked, because they don't have NFL players on their roster. That's the problem with it. A computer model makes way more sense.
And they don't even know that for sure. They're reading Mel Kiper's mock draft.
And that's why I think ultimately the positive with the 16-team playoff that's going to happen is because it's going to be largely auto-bid focused on conferences.
Mm-hmm.
It's a better model where it's like you're just going to take the top four SEC teams, the top four Big Ten teams, two Big 12 teams, two ACC teams or whatever it ends up being, and then a bunch of – then comes the chaos after.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a way better model to where we're headed, to where the AP poll literally won't matter at all anymore. Because let's say, okay, are you 1 through 4 in your conference? That's all that matters.
Yeah, I don't know if that's ever going to be put in play, though. I don't think they're going to do that.
You don't think that's what the 16-team format's going to look like?
No, I don't. I don't think they'll ever get that passed. I think it's going to be you win your conference champion, everything else is going to be at large.
I don't like it.
I like it way better. I like that way better. I don't like a binary, you're 1 through 4, here's an automatic qualifier. I want the regular season conference champion awarded, and I want the rest of them determined on an at-large. Now, I don't want the human element here, though. I want them to all get into a room and agree on a model that they're gonna use and be married to it. If you have to adjust it and tinker over the years, you do. But, hey, we're not going to have any human element here. That's, you know, it eliminates everybody trying to have a bias, pleasing multiple masters. Like Bubba Cunningham, cross-sport reference here. Mm-hmm. Bubba Cunningham was overlooking the NCAA basketball tournament last year. And I know he had to, like, leave the room or whatever whenever they were being discussed. But he had, like, a $100,000 bonus if North Carolina made the tournament. They were firmly on the bubble. Mm-hmm. And then you have all of his friends in the room that are making the determination. Like, there should never be the human element when you're deciding any of these at-larges.
I mean, that's why, the playoffs, so you have the athletic directors where it's the same thing. Like you have Notre Dame's athletic director, or former athletic director, right? He built this model, basically. There's a bias there.
Yeah.
It's going to a computer model. But I think if you're going to do that, then you got to get these conferences on board with their schedules. Because if that's fine, then I want the computer to crush them for playing cupcakes. Like,
or just don't reward them for it.
Yeah, just give them,
it's a neutral zero, you know?
Like, I would rather give someone credit, like you're giving Notre Dame this year, for example.
Sure.
Give them credit for losing to A&M by a point. Give them credit to losing to Miami by 3 points versus giving Alabama credit for beating directional Florida school.
Yeah. Most of the computer models do that.
Yeah, and that's why I'm for it. Like, I think if we got to a point, to me, the best way to fix college football and to alleviate a lot of these issues is you play your 9 conference games, and then you play one game if you're in the SEC against the Big Ten, one game against the ACC, and one team against the Big 12. Get these conferences aligned in numbers, add teams, and then play one game each, a rotating schedule. So you're guaranteed to play one team from a Power 4 conference each season. Then a lot of these questions get removed. Like, even though, like,
it'd be tough for the group of 5.
It would be tough for the group of 5. But maybe you guarantee them 2 spots in the 16-team playoff.
Well, you don't want to do that. You didn't want to put 2 undefeated group of 5 teams in earlier.
Yeah, I know.
713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Keith, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up?
Hey, guys. I think I agree with most of what you're saying with the AP models and the rankings and the SEC bias. Like, every time I turn on the television, there's an SEC game on. Like, you know, not a lot of people are going to, you know, dig deep and flip all the way to CBS Sports Network for, you know, like a Boise State to play like a South Florida or Cartoon Network or the CW, or I didn't mean to say the Cartoon Network, but the CW for game. And also, Washington is 5-1. They held Ohio State, the number one ranked team, defending champ, 24 points. They only scored 6, but they held them to 24, lost that game. That's their only loss. They're unranked, but if they were 5-1 in the SEC with their only loss to Ohio State, you know, they probably would be ranked. And also, UNLV should have some more cachet despite losing that top transfer quarterback. They've got an SEC head coach in Dan Mullen.
That was a quick hang-up.
I know. He's gone quick.
Super. Did he run into something? They're like, he get called? Like, did his boss call him up, walk into the office?
He made his point and
did
he
left. His mom walk into the basement? Like, what? That was fast. That was the quickest hang-up in the history of sports talk radio.
We had another one of those last week.
That was so fast.
Immediately just gonzo. No. Yeah, like, it's
so fast.
I just don't know. Like, it's, I think we're in a better situation than we were with the BCS.
Personally. I don't know, man.
I didn't like the BCS system.
The BCS was better than this. The BCS just had less opportunity of teams. Like, if the BCS had the luxury of picking between Team 12 and Team 13, we would look at it a lot more fondly than picking between Team 2 and Team 3.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we just go back to that.
See, what I don't like about, like, we had some junkies on the text line saying the BCS. The thing I don't like about the BCS is it did include the AP. So, like, I don't want that to be included. Just get rid of the human part of the BCS and put the BCS together. Use a combination of strength of record, FPI, whatever nerdy computer metrics you want to use, and eliminate the human bias entirely. The only time the human thought comes into mind is when you're creating the model. And then they're eliminated. And then they meet at the end of the year and be like, hey, what do we think of this? Should there be more value here? Should there be more value there? That's the way to go.
Would you feel better? What if they just, the committee from the very beginning was just every week?
No, because what I think happens with that is I think you have recency bias. Like, losing in week 13 is more significant than losing in week 1. Why does that matter?
But I feel, that's why I feel like if the committee is doing it from the beginning, like, they at least have, like, they're riding out the season. Where I feel like now they look at the AP poll and they say this is our starting
point. No, I don't think they should have any polls until they, like, one, I would go computers. Two, I don't think they should have any polls until a poll is needed.
Which, like, is,
because if you do polls continuously throughout the season, recency bias is going to come into play. Because you're like, oh, well, this team lost, so that we need to drop them, and this team beat a top five, so we need to boost them, and then you forget about the team that beat the number two team currently back in week 2. It's a mess. 4447 says that I think that Jeremy and Joe needed to decide the 12-team playoff. You guys are brilliant sports minds. Good point. The AP poll has inconsistently and hypocrisy across rankings and all conferences. It's clear that the AP poll is a joke. Key says Washington's only loss is against the number one team. They should be ranked. I think Washington's a good football team. Eric says it's money. All these teams driving, watching, probably. A&M lacks the perennial powerhouse label. Yeah, but they shouldn't be docked for that.
No, not at all.
Back to the BCS. I don't like the human element of the BTS. My fear is a Tech fan. They go 12-0, lose to Utah in the Big 12 championship, then miss the playoff for a fourth or fifth SEC team. I don't think you would have to worry about that, but I understand where that fear is coming from. I think a better solution is no ranking till week 4. I don't think there should be any ranking. Keith, the AP doesn't care. Just wants people to talk and click. Good point. Another BCS. Keith always hangs up quick after his calls. I think that came from Keith.
Yeah, but, like, the thing is, with, like, even if we wait for the ranking, I mean, if we wait for the rankings, it would just be weird to watch college football in a little bit.
No, it wouldn't.
Just the, like, it feels like it takes away a little bit from the average fan.
You wouldn't disagree.
You don't think for the average fan?
I don't know.
When, like, they promote it as 1 versus 2 or 3 versus 4.
Do you need that, though, to promote a big game?
I think, like, Oregon and Indiana. Like, Oregon versus Indiana, does it sell?
Yeah.
As, like, a game for, like, the average fan without it being 2 top 6 teams?
I think so. I think the average college football fan is shrewd and smart and sophisticated.
I think they're more...
Are you calling them dumb, Joe?
No, they're more in tune with college football. More college football fans are more in tune than the average NFL fan, right?
Yeah. As the most recent person here who has gone to college, I can guarantee that college students are not very smart.
Where did you go to school?
Sam Houston and then UHD.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Do you hold UHD in the same esteem as you hold UH?
Uncle Barney's a tenured professor at UHD.
Oh, I didn't
That's
know
the
that.
Greatest institution. It's the, what do they call it? The Yale by the Bayou or something like that? They call it an Ivy League school at the Bayou.
Okay.
Yeah, UHD. That's should be in the Ivy League, I think. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Coming up next, Willabits. You never know what you're going to get. You just know it's going to be great radio. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy, Jeremy and Joe. Willabits here. We're still making this one, so you have to bear with us. Willabit, what's the wager? So we're just going to, what are we waging on? What stood out to us in the wagering world? I think it's a show name. That,
I think it is, actually.
Jumped off. I think that was...
Is that Peralt?
No, I think Wagering World's on ESPN Bet. I think it's that Fortinball guy.
Oh, yeah. I think
Joe Fortinball. Yeah. I don't know what happened to the other guy. But anyways, what's the wager? We'll get the imaging on this later. It hadn't been built yet, but it came to us today, so whatever. What's the wager, Joe?
Let's go through the division odds here, because there's some interesting ones here. Where are my divisions? Where are my division odds here? All right, I'll start off here with the let's go AFC West.
Can I tell you that I made three divisional bets yesterday morning?
Okay. You tell me, you're going to spoil it for me?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, I made three division winner bets yesterday, literally.
Okay, so AFC West right now, Chiefs, these are all plus money, the ones that I pointed out for this one. Chiefs plus 160, Chargers plus 170, Broncos plus 210. You can get plus money on the Chiefs right now. Feels like this might be your last opportunity.
Yeah.
So are we betting the Chiefs this week?
I'm not going to do it. What I like to do with these divisional futures is I like to try to find teams at plus 200 or better, and then see if eventually another team I like in the division gets to plus 200 or better and have two divisional winners at plus 200 or better odds.
I like that.
I usually don't like, unless I'm doing it at the start of the season. Yeah. Like in season, I don't love betting any divisional winner at less than plus 200 odds.
Okay. I understand that. So,
but I don't disagree with your take about Kansas City. Like, if I had to pick right now who's going to win the division, I would say Kansas City, and then getting them at plus money is certainly appealing.
Yeah, it just feels like this, and that's obviously something that was not on the board for you this offseason.
No.
Like, it was clear that, like, I mean, the Chiefs bet probably should have been placed 2 weeks ago. I would imagine. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
But to have them now plus 160, I feel like this is just, like, your last opportunity.
Yeah.
In the NFC North. The Lions are only behind by a half a game. But this division right now, it's very tight. Packers plus 100, Lions plus 145. If you like J.J. McCarthy, plus 850. If you like the 3-2.
Or Carson Wentz. Mine are a little different here. I got Minnesota plus 900, Detroit plus 150.
Okay. Yes, that's why you got to
shop around.
You got to shop around for the best odds. Bears plus 1,300.
So you're going Detroit here.
Yeah. Plus 145, Detroit.
Not now, the Bears. You're not gonna make a homer pick.
No. I don't wager with real dollars being a homer. Just in the fix where I went 3-0. Just had to point that out there. 3-0 week for me.
I think I went 1-2.
You did.
Yeah, I've been struggling.
The Bills game hurt you last night.
Yeah, I did. This is a rubber game for me on the week. So you're saying Lions at plus money?
Yeah.
Plus 150. I have in front of me.
Yeah, I mean it's that one's. You know, I think eventually they run away with it. Like what we were talking about earlier with Green Bay, I just think Jordan Love's too inconsistent for me.
No, I don't.
That's the problem.
I like where you're at here.
So I think the wager there is the Lions plus 145. Next division where we have all plus money teams, the West, NFC West.
Okay.
Rams plus 140, 49ers plus 155, Seahawks plus 285. So is this one of those that you're intrigued by?
Yeah.
Seattle plus 285?
I got it at plus 300 yesterday. I'm on Seattle plus 300 to win this division. I placed this bet yesterday. Because, like, right. San Francisco – actually, my odds have San Francisco plus 140, Rams plus 150. They have the 49ers as the favorite.
Interesting.
Like, the thought here is Puka's about to miss at least a game.
Mm-hmm.
Stafford's an old man who, like, doesn't – like, are you confident he's going to play the entire season? 49ers have tons of injuries that are going to stick with them for a while. Seattle's top 10 in scoring offense and scoring defense. They might be better than we think. But they don't get the love of San Fran and the Rams, but they're right there in the standings. Right there in the standings. You're giving me them at plus 300 whenever I think that they're very capable of winning this division? Yeah, I got Seattle plus 300 yesterday morning.
Especially when you look at what's coming up this weekend. Like you mentioned Puka. If he's out, let's say somehow, you know, traveling overseas doesn't go well for the Rams.
Yeah.
They lose to London, lose to the Jags in London, in their home stadium, basically. Like, so they go to 4-3. You got the 49ers this week on a bye week. No, they play the Falcons on Sunday Night Football, where the 49ers are currently 2.5-point favorites. But like after last night, everyone's feeling pretty good about the Falcons. And then you got the Seahawks on Monday Night Football, where most people would pick them to beat the Texans.
There's three. They're all 4-2. They're all 4-2. I think they're all very even. And Seattle's the one with plus 300 odds. Give me the team with the best odds. If San Fran was plus 300, I'd do it for them. Or the Rams. If they were plus 300, I'd do it for them.
Okay, so I'm gonna take a guess here. The next team that's above plus 200, you bet on to win the division.
So I have two more. I got one at plus 300 yesterday morning. That actually matters here. And I got another one at plus 600.
I'm guessing that's the team that, as I'm looking at, is currently plus 425 to win the NFC South. The Atlanta Falcons?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Who?
So yesterday morning, I bet the New England Patriots to win the AFC East. That's plus 300. They already beat the Bills.
This is great. Mine's going to have plus 165.
Well, keep in mind what happened last night.
Oh, yeah, the Bills.
I played this yesterday morning.
Yes, you're right.
So that's how much I won some value here. Now, I didn't think that the Bills were going to lose yesterday. Mm-hmm. It didn't influence my play yesterday morning. It was just good fortune. It was just good luck. New England's schedule is pretty easy. New England schedule versus Buffalo schedule is night and day. New England already has a win over Buffalo, too, and it was on the road. So New England welcomes in Buffalo with a chance for the series sweep and has an easier schedule. And I got it at plus 300. They're currently tied for first. New England has the tiebreaker. The plus 600?
Texans?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes. They're 2.5 games back. Like, not a great spot to be in. And I do like the Colts. But what do we know about Daniel Jones?
He gets hurt.
He can get injury prone. They have nothing behind him. Riley Leonard is literally their backup quarterback, and he might be better than Anthony Richardson. They still play twice, too. Like, the Colts haven't beaten the Texans. So if the Texans sweep Indy, which is a daunting task, obviously, all of a sudden they're a half game back.
Mm-hmm.
They're a half game back. So I like the odds at plus 600. Like, they were the betting favorite at the start of the year. Certainly getting it off to a good start. Indy got off to a good start. But plus 600 for the betting favorite at the start of the year, who looks like they could be playing better. I mean, you know, not great competition they played the last two games. But plus 600 I felt like was good value.
It's pretty good for the Texans.
They have to sweep Indy. They have to sweep them in the season series.
Yes. And you don't need Daniel Jones, I don't think, to be hurt to accomplish that. And they brought in, and Richardson might be out for a while. They brought in a bunch of quarterbacks today.
Yeah.
So like they might be like they're probably a little concerned about that with where they stand at the quarterback position.
Look, and the Colts struggled against the Cardinals at home.
I know,
with Jacoby Brissett.
I know, and it does coming off this weekend. That's of all the teams in the division, it's like that's a tough look. This game coming up this weekend versus the Chargers is a really fascinating one for the implications for the Texans for the playoffs.
Probably. But, like, I mean, look at the Colts' schedule. The Colts' schedule is pretty tough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Texans are too. But at the Chargers, versus the Titans, you should win that. But at Pittsburgh, AFC North leader, home for the Falcons, mm-hmm. who knows what they are. They might be really good. At Kansas City, home for the Texans. At Jacksonville, at Seattle, so you do the same thing the Texans are doing. Home for the 49ers, same thing the Texans are doing. Home for the Jags, and then at Houston. Look, gun to my head, who wins the division, Indy or Houston? Indy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting them at plus 600.
Yeah, you can't pass on it.
Plus 600.
No, I look at like the Texans at plus 600. Of all the teams that are going to have that like big of odds to win the division, they're the only one you touch in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like you're not betting the Vikings plus 810 or 850 because the Vikings, I don't think they have a chance. I'm not a J.J. McCarthy believer. I'm definitely not a Carson Wentz believer. And like maybe McCarthy looks better when he gets back from his injury, which could be this week, I guess.
Yeah.
But I believe it when I see it. Because I almost now with the Seahawks, I'm almost wondering, like, in a way, like, did we give Kevin O'Connell too much credit? I just want to, like, wait and see. Like, it just.
Maybe Darnold's that good.
Yeah, maybe Darnold's just good. And we just, like, everyone's like, Kevin O'Connell can fix everything he touches.
Yeah.
And they're using Sam Darnold as the argument for that and getting the best of Kirk Cousins out of Kirk Cousins. But Kirk Cousins was fine in Washington.
Yeah, he was already pretty good.
Like he was already pretty good. Now, he was better in Minnesota, yes. But by how much better was he in Minnesota?
That's a good take.
And then you've got Sam Darnold, who was good, but who's also now better in Seattle this year so far than he was in Minnesota last year.
Yeah.
So, like, I like Kevin O'Connell a lot. It's just maybe we crowned him as this ultimate QB whisperer, going to automatically fix J.J. McCarthy and Carson Wentz. Because Carson Wentz was good for the first game. It was a disaster for a second
disaster.
Game. It's not good.
1143, I'm going to tell all your bets because I know you know what you're talking about. No, you don't have to kiss our tails, 1143. Come on now.
Thanks, King.
Task HBO is so good. I've heard that.
It's very good.
You've watched it.
I'm caught up. There's one episode left.
Okay.
Really enjoy it. Mark Ruffalo is great.
All right,
in this
I'm going to do it. Enough people have talked about it. Task HBO, that'll be the next show we start.
I think it's only 7 episodes. I think maybe it's 8.
All right, I'm going to check it out.
But it's very good. I really enjoyed it.
I'm going to check it out. 713-780-3776. Joe, do you play fantasy football?
I do.
Ryan, do you play fantasy football?
I do.
I bet you're terrible.
I'm amazing at it. 5-1 right now.
Waiver Wire Tuesday. Who do you need to claim on the waiver wire to bring you prosperity for your fantasy football team. Waiver Wire Tuesday, it's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Homecoming Saturday, Houston, Arizona. 5-1 Cougar. It'll be a great time. Arizona, good football team, too. They took BYU to the brink. Double OT. But it's time to pack TD ECU Stadium this Saturday, October 18th. Houston football takes on the Arizona Wildcats for homecoming. Don't miss the pageantry, the pride, the roar of Cougar Nation. Kickoff at 11 a.m. This is Houston's team. Need you to create a true home field advantage. Come early, be loud, wear red. Get your tickets at uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets today. But right now, first person to answer this trivia question, 713-780-3776. You're going out to see Houston in Arizona on Saturday. Who leads the Houston Cougars in tackles? 713-780-3776. Who leads the Cougars in tackles? First person to call in. Pair of tickets going your way. Get your tickets now, though. uhcougars.com/tickets or 713-GO-COUGS. Waiver wire Tuesday, Joe, so you can win your fantasy football. I'm doing well in two. I'm doing terrible. I haven't won a game in my third one. Yikes. To be fair to me, though, I did not draft that team. It was my buddy Screech, and Screech famously does not know ball.
Okay. I got too much going on. I'm too invested this year. I got to pull back next year.
What do you mean?
I'm in too many leagues.
How many are you in?
Six.
Yeah, it's a bit much.
And four of them are dynasties?
Are they all on sleeper?
No.
That's the problem.
Three are on sleeper, two are on ESPN, and one's on Yahoo.
Yeah, it's tough when you have multi-platforms.
Yeah, really probably get rid of the Yahoo one.
No, you're not.
Can we just move it to sleeper?
No.
I'm in Jeremy's league.
All of mine are on Yahoo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which, I mean, is a little antiquated, but most of it's offside.
It's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So, waiver wire. Who are you spending your fab on, Joe?
I think I got to look at both. Pick your poison, I guess, on one of the Bucks wide receivers.
Short term, definitely there. Like, yeah. You're not looking at either one of these guys as long term guys.
No, but you have another week in which, like, I know we don't care about our teams, but just as an example, you watch Garrett Wilson and Ibuka go down in 1 week. I'm in trouble in one of my leagues.
Do you like Cam Johnson or Tez Johnson?
I like Tez. I like the big play. Yeah. I mean, he feels like he has the big play ability. It's just one play that we saw. But like that moment there, like if I'm desperate with bye weeks going on, with the amount of injuries we're seeing in the NFL right now, Tez is the guy that I'm probably going to first. Like I'm locking into a Buccaneers wide receiver to try to help save my team at this point.
Yeah, there's a few receivers that I'm interested in. Like, Wandale Robinson shouldn't be available in any leagues.
No.
You know who got a lot of targets last week, but it might be because Dylan Gabriel threw the ball 50 times? Isaiah Bond is suddenly becoming a guy who you might want to keep an eye on.
I mean, he was a good prospect coming out of college, right?
Yeah.
He had a bunch of legal issues.
Yeah, he was undrafted.
Yeah.
And then Cleveland gave him a 3-year guaranteed deal.
Yeah. So that's one that...
And then they lost their Tillman, so there's opportunity there. Now, yeah. Gabriel stinks. They're not going to throw it 50 times every game, so it obviously is going to limit Isaiah Bond's targets. I'm not sure that Isaiah Bond's playable yet. I think he probably needs good quarterback play, but he's somebody that might be on your radar.
Yeah.
Might be on your radar.
One, it's one of those. That's one of those guys that it's almost like Woody Marks in a way, where if you don't do it now, you're probably going to miss the boat.
Yep.
And that's like it's so if you want to make the risk on him for later in the season, you got to make that bet right now.
Uh-huh. Any of these other receivers, like Jordan Whittington, maybe if Puka's out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that. I probably lean Tutu Atwell. Honestly,
I don't know, man, I think Whittington's a better player.
I like the big play stuff. Give me the boom or bust. But Whittington's probably the safer bet.
I don't know. I mean, Whittington's got some boom in him. I think a little Cuero Gobbler.
Yeah, the Rams situation. That's one of those where. It feels like no matter what you do, you're going to be wrong in fantasy football. Like, whichever guy you pick up, it's going to be the other guy.
I know.
That goes off.
If you had to pick a Texan between Xavier Hutchinson and Jaden Higgins, who would you pick?
Jalen Knoll.
Why? He plays like four offensive snaps a game.
I'm wondering if
Jalen Knoll. I am taken aback by that response.
I just like the play design at the end of the game, and it's like it feels like Higgins getting on the field is more dependent on Kirk having less success. So, like, if I was going to take a flyer on one of them, I would go Higgins, Knoll. I was just really being a smartass. And then Christian Kirk.
Knoll would be easily third for me.
I think he's gonna. He's the one that I'm.
He doesn't play.
But coming out of the bye week, like we saw Golden this week in Green Bay.
He's gonna unseat Hutchinson off a 2-touchdown game. Who blocks?
Knoll. Yeah.
Higgins was drafted earlier than Knoll.
I like Knoll, especially if you're in a league that does kick return yards.
You might as well play Braxton Berrios.
No, he doesn't play.
Does Booty do anything for you?
Yeah, Booty does something for me.
I just don't know if he's playable. Like the Patriots, I don't know if Booty's playable. The Patriots spread it around too much.
What?
Hey, why are you laughing? Crazy.
Why are you laughing so much?
I'm not the one laughing. You're laughing.
I liked my joke. I like the way I said it.
Those Patriot receivers to me are scary. Like, I don't know if I can play those Patriot receivers.
No, but that's another one for desperation. He's probably available in most leagues. I feel like there was some hype last year and that fell off pretty dramatically. But, I mean.
You know who I like under the radar at receiver?
Who's that?
And I'm not going to spend any fab money on him. Elik Eumaner. You don't know who he is?
No.
He's the Titans' second receiver.
Oh, okay, that guy. Yeah.
Elik.
Yeah,
I don't know how to say his last name. I probably butchered his last name. But Elik.
Maybe that's why.
No Ridley, man. No Ridley. Like, he's going to get all the targets. They're probably going to be losing the games they play, so he might get, like, 10 targets a game while Ridley's out.
Who's the coach now? Mike Mayock?
Yeah, does he throw the ball? Mike Mayock. Mike Mayock was a general manager once upon a time.
That's the wrong person.
Any tight ends? Fannin should be picked up in your league.
Yeah, A.J. Barner.
Against the number one scoring defense in the league?
I mean, we've seen Jalen Petrie struggle with tight ends before.
See, I kind of, yeah, it's true.
So, like, I like Barner.
Fannin should not be available in your league. But no. If Fannin is available, he would be a guy you should go after. Because Njoku's hurt, too.
Yeah, he's getting more targets than Njoku.
Mason Taylor should not be available in your league, but if he is. Now, here are some under-the-radar tight ends. Do you think Mark Andrews gets traded?
Yes.
Okay. Then you should be stashing Isaiah Likely.
See, but I feel like he's on teams.
It depends on the league.
Yeah.
It does depend on the league.
Because people every year like Likely when he's on the field. He's a go-to for Lamar. But if Likely's available, he's a must for me.
How about this Gadsden, the Chargers?
Yeah, I mean, probably. But the problem is there's so much talent at wide receiver.
Yeah, you probably need Quentin Johnston to not play.
Where, like, A.J. Barner with Seattle, he had the same amount of targets as Cooper Kupp last week. And he's getting big plays. His big play was 61 yards and a touchdown last week. Like, he's producing on a regular basis at the tight end position. So I like Barner for me of the tight ends. I mean, he didn't do much last night, but I think there's a Loveland breakout that's still coming. I think Loveland's going to be a breakout. Luther Burden, if he's available.
Shouldn't be available in leagues, but perhaps he gets the, what is it, Zacchaeus?
Yeah, Zacchaeus.
Yeah. He should probably start getting some of his run.
And DJ Moore, apparently it's a groin injury why he had to go to the hospital last night.
That's weird.
And be escorted by his wide receiver coach, Antoine Randall. but I would say, like, Luther Burden, if he's available. I mean, obviously, like, in a dynasty league, he's not going to be available. But, like, in just, like, in a standard league, Burden's going to be there.
Vidal shouldn't be available, but if he is...
No,
I'd spend some fab on him.
Yeah.
Which Cardinal running back you like, Carter or Knight?
I've been rolling with Carter in my league that I've got him in one of mine. Bam Knight wasn't available because I was going to go double down on both and just have both of them on my roster in case one became clear. I've been running Carter, though. I mean, I liked him originally when he was with the Jets, so I've been running Carter out there.
Knight got the goal line carry.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Vultured the touchdown.
Yeah.
Texture says Vidal. I mean, he's clearly the one in L.A.,
even with Haskins, he rushed for 20 touchdowns for Jim at Michigan.
Yeah.
So, like, I do still am, like, holding out hope a little bit.
I don't know, though, man.
He looked good last.
Vidal was the better of the two.
Yeah.
Do we like Michael Wilson or Sterling Shepard? Shepard could be a Buccaneer that's going to see some action. I don't like Wilson. I think if you were desperate to play a Cardinal receiver, I'd actually go Zay Jones.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I think to Shepard, he's going to be the if Mike Evans doesn't play, Shepard's the most veteran player on that roster. at this point. And he's been getting targets all year.
They have connection, too,
yeah,
dating back to the Oklahoma days. Why do the Steelers have four tight ends, and why does Jonu and Pat not get passes? That is weird how they distribute their touches there.
Aaron likes the big guy.
It's like DK Metcalf, and like everybody else is going to get two targets.
Yeah, I mean, one of the guys I've been most wrong about, I know, Texter. I've seen all of them. I'm sorry. I apologize for Caleb Johnson.
Yeah, it was a swing and a miss.
That's how I felt about Roman Wilson last year.
He got hurt, though.
But he's not playing this year?
He's getting like three snaps. He's getting.
I liked Roman Wilson at Michigan.
See, I thought he was actually going to be their wide receiver, too.
I did, too.
And he doesn't play.
He doesn't play at all.
They're going to trade for a receiver.
Like, I went early on Calvin Austin after the first couple weeks, but I've moved off of that because he's, again, not a factor.
I think he's hurt, too.
Yeah.
He hasn't been playing.
But, yeah, they need a wide receiver, too.
Yeah.
They could use George Pickens.
What if they trade for A.J. Brown? What if they trade for Brown? Go a little DK, A.J. Brown? It feels like a lot to give up for him, though, especially with how they play football.
Are you looking then, if you think that's on the table, an A.J. Brown trade, are you looking at this point in the season, are you scouting Dotson as an option? Jahan Dotson?
No. I think he's a bum.
What about Mechie?
No. He plays less than Dotson.
Because I just like...
don't like Eagle receivers. Know, they don't throw the ball.
Yeah, so it's like, who are the targets going to?
No.
Like, if A.J. Brown's gone, it's all Devontae.
No, they're going to throw the ball to Goddard.
And Goddard.
And they're going to run it 50 times a game.
Yeah.
I don't like Eagle receivers. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What is your junkie of the day? Who is your junkie of the day? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. If you haven't heard about Higgins Boat Rum, you need to, because it's rum on a mission. Higgins Boat Rum is known as the Texas bourbon drinker. Rum. It's bold, it's smooth, steeped in history, and honors the greatest generation. Perfect to sip neat on the rocks or a big rock. My favorite. Higgins Boat Rum is excellent for crafting your Texas-inspired cocktails. Try your old-fashioned with it. Try your Manhattan with it. The classics, too. A pina colada. A Mai Tai, maybe. It's perfect with them all. Higgins Boat Rum pays tribute to our military heritage and is named after the iconic landing craft that turned the tide in World War II. Higgins Boat Rum donates 10% of profits from every bottle to Camp Hope to support our veterans, so you're honoring heroes with every pour. Higgins Boat Rum uses the Prosecco craft technology that we've all grown to love, makes it smoother, enhances the natural flavors and aromas while removing the harsh elements. A premium top shelf rum at a great price. Get your bottle now at HigginsBoatRum.com. Ships to 48 states across the U.S. That's HigginsBoatRum.com. Bring home a bottle of courage.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
inside of the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, who's your junkie of the day? 713-780-3776. Junkie of the day, 713-780-3776. Certainly not Glenn Davis.
He'll
be here at Soccer Matters coming up at 6. You want me to tune into that? It's going to be live from Senate Avenue Brewing as well. Get on out there if you're in the area. Swing on by, say hello to Glenn, heckle Brian, drink some good beer, and have some delicious, delicious food. We're going to be out on Thursday at the Saltgrass. Going to be a great time. Get on out there, hang out with us, get some delicious food. And then Friday, we'll be at the Old Humble Distilling Company, which would be a great time as well. So come on out, say hello to us, tell us who your favorite junkie is. Thursday at Saltgrass, Friday at Old Humble Distilling Company. Joe?
I'm going to start off.
Who's your junkie of the day?
I think we have to go with Bryce Thrang.
Oh, good call. Good call. That was number one on my list.
It's not really.
Yeah, but you're doing that because yesterday you stole it unintentionally.
I know.
Well, I know. I'm on to you. I can see right through you, Joe.
I got called mean names today, so I had to at least give it back a little bit.
Yeah, that is true.
I'm just going to have to nominate myself. 2-79. It's not good.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. You are a junkie, too.
Yeah, I am.
I mean, you're like one of the OG junkies.
Yeah, so 2-79. You gotta, deserved.
Bryce Thuring gets it. A selfish, selfish player.
So selfish.
Selfish. Take one for the team and tie the game, man.
Man.
Selfish. He didn't want to take the bat out of his hands. He wanted to be the hero. Wear it.
Be the hero.
Tie the game. Soft is what that was.
Yep.
Super soft. Also, Will Venables, he was throwing shade at the Big 12. He's like, oh, playing in the ACC is tough. This isn't the old Big 12s whenever Oklahoma destroys everybody. The Big 12 quote tweeted it. Coach Venables lost 8 conference games in his 2 seasons in the Big 12.
Wait, the conference quote tweeted it?
Yeah.
I love that.
It's great.
That's awesome.
And then Keith, the caller, calling Cartoon Network a college football supplier.
To be fair, Nickelodeon is for the NFL.
What so, wins?
Bryce Terang, coward.
All right, we'll be Bryce Terang. Great job, Ryan. Hook him up. He's looking for a date. But great job, Ryan. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Soccer Matters, Glenn Davis, right now on ESPN 97.5, live from Senate Ave Brewing.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.